Welcome to our sermon series, Faith Over Fear. Today we dive into the scriptures to see how we can be empowered to live by faith.
The Bible says that you are good and your mercy endures forever. Lord, we thank you that you remain good to us. And we celebrate your goodness today. Lord, I pray that we will never forget how good you've been. Doesn't matter what's going on in our lives, you are good. So we remind ourselves this morning of your goodness. As we turn to your word, we ask that you'll speak to us. Lord, will you teach us to be a people who are after your own heart, a people of prayer who depend on you daily? I pray that you'll anoint your word and anoint me as I share it. Our desire is that you receive the glory and you receive the honor. In Jesus' name, let everybody say amen. Amen and amen. Fantastic. So we started a new series last week that we've called Ask. And this series, Ask, is about prayer. We recognize that as our theme this year is faith over fear, and God wants you and I to be men and women of faith. One of the marks of a life of faith is prayer. Anyone that is a disciple of Jesus must be a person of prayer. In Luke chapter 11, the Bible records for us an event where the disciples came to Jesus after they'd noticed how impactful and powerful his prayer life was and what the relationship he had with his Heavenly Father and how beautiful that was. They walked up to him, they said, "Will you teach us how to pray?" And so we went to Matthew chapter 6 and we saw that Jesus, and what is commonly known as the Lord's Prayer, taught his disciples to pray this way. He said, "Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we have also forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation. Deliver us from the evil one." And manuscripts continue on to say, "For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory forever and ever." And all God's people say, amen. And through the Lord's Prayer, Jesus helps us understand some broad themes about prayer. And that, yes, prayer is about revering God. But prayer is about also praying issues of the kingdom, because our prayer life is bigger than me, myself, and I, and the things that we need. And yes, God is interested in giving us our daily bread, but he wants us to pay attention to matters of the kingdom. How do we see God's rule and God's dominion, not only in our lives, but in our communities, in our city, and in our nation, and in the world? And God also tells us to pray about issues of sin, our relationship with him, but how we also relate with others as we've also forgiven our debtors, recognizing that God will forgive us if we forgive those who sin against us. But then we also recognize that we have an enemy. His name is Satan. We are to pray that God will give us the grace every day to overcome temptation. And in all these things, the desire at the end of the day is to bring God glory. And I hope that you took those principles and began to live by them. And I hope that you're already beginning to experience a new perspective in the way you approach prayer. That yes, there is personal things, but there is a bigger agenda. It's about bringing heaven here on earth. So today we want to continue on with our series. And today we're going to talk about how we continue to ask, seek, and knock when God seems silent. A story is told of a bar. This bar was called Drummond's. It's found in Mount Vernon, somewhere in the USA, in Texas. So this bar began the construction to expand their building. They wanted to expand their business. They wanted to grow their business and take it to the next level. And so in response to that, the Southern Baptist Church started a campaign to block the bar from expanding. They began to pray about this and they asked, "Lord, will you block the expansion of this bar and its business in Jesus' name?" Well, about a week before the bar's grand opening, a bolt of lightning struck the bar and burnt the bar to the ground. Afterward, the church folks began bragging about the power of prayer. The angry bar owner sued the church on grounds that the church was responsible for the demise of his business. Whether it was directly or indirectly, they were responsible. Of course, the church denied any connection to the demise of the business. They said, we have no responsibility in this issue. So they took the matter to court before the judge, who began to carefully read the plaintiff's complaint and the defendant's reply. And he opened with this statement. The judge said, I don't know how I'm going to decide this, but it appears from the paperwork that is before me that we have a bar owner who now believes in the power of prayer and an entire congregation that does not believe in the power of prayer. Sometimes as we carry on in prayer, and we ask, we keep asking, we seek and we keep seeking, and we knock and we keep knocking, believing that God will not only hear our prayer and answer prayer. Sometimes in prayer we experience frustrations of different kinds. Sometimes it takes too long to get an answer to prayer. Sometimes we never get an answer, or the answer comes in a form we did not expect. And we begin to battle, you know, is this God's responsibility? Is it my responsibility? Why isn't my prayer being answered? To the extent that many believers have given up on prayer and don't even believe in the power of prayer when we pray in Jesus' name. Either because of things that have happened in the past. You laid your hands on someone that was sick, a relative, a close friend. And you believed God for healing and the person died. It's confusion and you're wondering why. In fact, when we go to Daniel chapter 10, Daniel was a leader, man of God, who had served under three kings. And at every single one of those kings, he had excelled and had been put in positions of leadership. And even when he prayed, at one point we see that he prayed concerning an issue. He wanted clarity and understanding. And it took 21 days. But we see that an angel came to him and said, yes, I'd carried your answer to prayer, but I found opposition in the heavenlies. The prince of Persia, who really is a principality, is a demonic power that was fighting me. But the angel Michael has come and we've been able to overcome. And God says he hears your prayer. But it took 21 days. Some of us, we can't go past one day. You pray and you want God to answer immediately, but you're not seeing answers to prayer. And you wonder, what is going on? Sometimes it's been months or years and you're believing God concerning a certain issue, but you don't really seem to see answers to prayer. And you're wondering, what is going on? So today we want to talk about that. How do you continue to ask, to seek, and to knock when God seems silent? And I want to encourage you, even when God seems silent, God is never absent. God is present, working all things out for your good and for his glory. So what are some of the hindrances, the things that get in the way of prayer being answered? Now, as we talk through them, I want to encourage you, search your heart. Search your heart and see, hey, could this be the reason that I'm not experiencing answer to prayer? Number one is willful sin. Sin hinders our relationship with God. And we talked about this last week. That what God wants is a relationship with you, my friend. God is interested in you. And through prayer, we get to spend time with God and build an intimate relationship with him. Our hearts connect with God in prayer. When sin comes into the picture, when we introduce sin into our lives, it breaks that fellowship, that relationship that we have with God. It introduces guilt and shame. And when sin comes into the picture, we begin to hide from God. Sin breaks our relationship with God. It disorganizes our prayer life. And God wants to deal with this issue of sin in our lives so that it doesn't affect our prayer life. Scripture tells us here in Isaiah chapter 59, verse 1 to 2. Indeed, the Lord's arm is not too weak to save, and his ear is not too deaf to hear. But your iniquities are separating you from your God, and your sins have hidden his face from you so that he does not listen. It's not that God is not able to answer your prayer, my friend. But when we begin to live in sin, when we fall into sin and turn our backs on God, God will not force himself on you, my friend. God has given you a will so that you can choose him. You can choose what's right before him so that you can honor him in the little details and the choices that you make every day. And when we turn our backs on God, it's as if we're saying we don't need you, we don't trust you, we're not depending on you. Sin introduces Satan into the picture. The Bible tells us we're not to give Satan a foothold. In other words, do not give him a place in your life. Give yourself fully to God. And when it comes to willful sin, it is us intentionally doing what is wrong when we know we shouldn't do it. The Bible tells us if you know what to do and you do not do it, it's sin. So sometimes it's sin because you didn't do the right thing. Sometimes it's sin because you chose the wrong thing. You know, you cannot pray or continue to pray for a promotion at your place of work and sleep with the boss to get a promotion. Well, you can't begin to pray for God to bless your relationships when you love gossip. Why are you believing God for breakthrough at your place of work, but you're always late? Are you asking God to move, but you constantly go to the witch doctor's place? And so we have to search our hearts and say, hey, how is my walk with God? How is my life before God? See, God wants to do incredible things for you and through you and in you. God wants to bless you. God wants to answer your prayer. But have you turned your back on God? Maybe you just might have turned your back on God. God is saying, will you come back to me? Will you repent of that sin? When it came to the nation of Israel, God said, listen, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves in that act of humility, turn away from their sin. And he says, only then will I hear from heaven and heal their land. Sin places a barrier. You know, Paul is writing and he says, if you mistreat, listen, husbands, if you mistreat your wife, God will not answer your prayer. And sin hinders answer to prayer. Listen, if there's any sin in your life today, you can cry out to Jesus. His blood is strong enough to wash away your sin so that your life can be open fully to God. The Bible tells us it is the prayer of a righteous man that avails much. Will you open your life to God? Will you turn away from sin? Will you ask Jesus to forgive you? Will you make him your Lord and Savior? Because there's incredible things that God wants to do in your life. One of the other hindrances to prayer is doubt, unbelief. Where we pray, but our confidence is not in God. We don't fully believe that God is able to do what he said he will do. Yeah, we quote the scripture and we mention the promises, but we never really trust that God is able to fulfill his word, that God is able to hear our prayer and answer our prayer. And so we find that our confidence is in something else. Sometimes our confidence is in the finances that we have, in money. Sometimes our confidence is in a relationship. Sometimes our confidence is in a man of God. And yes, we pray so that we can tick that box. And if anyone asks you, did you pray about this? Say, yeah, I did. I prayed about it. But you never fully trust God. The Bible tells us in James 1, 5 to 8, if any of you lacks wisdom, you should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to you. But when you ask, you must believe and not doubt. Because the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea, blown and tossed by the wind. That person should not expect to receive anything from the Lord. Such a person is double-minded and unstable in all they do. God wants us to come with full trust, complete faith in him, that nothing is impossible for him to do, that he is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we can think, ask, or imagine. God wants us to fix our eyes on him, the author and the finisher of our faith. God wants us to fully depend on him as his children and as our sufficient father. God wants us to come to him with full confidence that I know my God is able to meet me at my point of need. That is how we are to approach God. Could it be that your confidence is in something else? Will you put your trust in God? The Bible says those who put their trust in the Lord will never be put to shame. God will not fail you, my friend. Yes, it could have taken a long time, but keep praying. Keep believing God. He will come through for you in Jesus' name. Put your faith in Jesus. Put your faith in Jesus. The other hindrance to prayer is giving up. Many times we give up because it's taken so long. Say, God, I've been praying for years. I'm done. Some of you begin even threaten God. Hey, God, if you do not answer, I'm coming up to heaven. Some of you even say, God, if you don't answer my prayer, I'm going to backslide. I'm going to turn my back on you. Because you're desperate. You just want an answer to prayer. So you figured out, maybe if I threaten God just a little bit, he'll do something about my situation. But maybe you've given up because maybe the last time you prayed, you didn't receive the answer you thought. Man, you are believing God for an incredible promotion at work, and the job that opened up in that organization was for a cleaner. You say, I have a master's degree. I cannot mop people's floors. I don't mop floors. I have a master's degree. God is setting me up for bigger things. Or maybe you laid your hands on your CV and you prayed. You took the debt of the interview and you circled it on the calendar, and you even anointed the calendar with oil. And you fasted for the week before, or you fasted for all the Wednesdays that were lining up. And you never got the job. And saying, this thing does not work. Prayer, no, 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 no. You've given up because it's been too long. You prayed about your marriage and it seems to be getting worse. Your children, their behavior is not changing. You don't seem to be getting that job. The finances are not coming through. And you're saying, should I continue to pray? And you're frustrated. and you give up. The Bible tells us in Luke 18, verse 1, now Jesus was telling the disciples a parable to make the point that at all times they ought to pray and not give up and lose heart. Can I encourage you, my friend? Do not give up. Could you help me? Turn to your neighbor, shake them on the shoulder, tell them, do not give up. Keep trusting Jesus. Come on, turn to another neighbor, tell them, do not give up. Keep trusting Jesus. Or will you turn to one more neighbor, give them a high five, tell them, do not give up. Keep trusting Jesus. He will come through for you. The Bible tells us in 1 Thessalonians 5:17 to constantly pray. In other words, there's that acronym that is popular that says PUSH, pray until something happens. That's why when you really look at that scripture in Luke 11, 9 to 10, it's not just ask and you receive. It really is. In the Greek, it says ask and keep asking. Seek and keep seeking. Knock and keep knocking. And guess what? The door will be open to you. It will be open to you. And you know what, friends? Prayer is not just about what we will receive. Prayer is also about who we become in the process. God is growing you to learn how to depend on Him. God is growing you to learn how to trust Him. Listen, God, the grace of God is sufficient for you to remain in prayer until you see that answer come to pass. So it's about who you're becoming. God is changing you. He's molding. He's making you stronger and better. Yes, the trial may seem long, but count it all joy and remain in prayer. Remain in prayer. Stay in prayer. Ask God. Ask and keep asking. Seek and keep seeking. Knock and keep knocking. Don't give up. The God that you serve is incredibly faithful. He has not let you down, and He won't let you down now. He won't let you down. Another hindrance to prayer. And I hope this is good. I hope that you're searching your heart and you're wondering, hey, is it a sin issue for me? Is there a sin that I need to deal with? You know, have I given up on God? Is it an issue of doubt? One more, wrong motives. Sometimes our prayers are not answered because of wrong motives in our hearts. You know, God does not just look at your desperation to pray. He also looks at the heart. Why are you really praying for that job? Why do you really want that car or that house? It's an issue of the heart. You know, the heart is where all our issues of life really get defined. And we pray out of the abundance of what is in our hearts. In fact, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. The Bible tells us in the book of James, chapter 4, verse 3, that when you ask, you do not receive because you ask with wrong motives, that you may spend what you get on your pleasures. We ask only for our sake. Now remember, Jesus taught us to pray in Matthew 6, give us today our daily bread. God wants to give you what you need. In fact, scripture tells us that He delights in giving us the desires of our hearts. He wants to. But sometimes our motives are wrong. Sometimes we pray out of envy. You see something, someone has something beautiful and you want it for yourself. In fact, you even begin to pray that they should not have it. Someone comes to you and they say, man, praise God. You remember that job I told you about? God opened the door for me. And you can't celebrate. You can't celebrate. You're dying with jealousy and envy because it's the job you also applied for. Sometimes we pray because we want to draw attention to ourselves. You want God to bless you with that car so that when you drive through traffic, everyone will say, wow, God is blessing his people. And then you're going to lower your window to just the right, so that people can see you just enough. And you'll be seated at this angle, and you're playing loud music, and your sheds are right there, and you're driving, and you've added little lights on your car. And yes, the song you're playing is a gospel song, but you're like, yo. Maybe you're really praying for that person to get well so that you, when you lay your hands on them and they get well, people begin to refer to you as a man and woman of God. And people begin to come to your feet. Maybe you really want a brown husband or wife so that you can boast. So that you can boast. You're boasting. And all of the married people saying, oh, you're here, you're the ones. You've been praying like, God, I want a brown husband. Then God sells you this tall, dark, handsome guy. And like, Jesus, what's going on? You're like, no. This couldn't be. God, I bind him in the name of Jesus. God is answering you, but you're too caught up in what you want that you can't really see that God is sending you an incredible guy who loves him, who wants to look after you. All you're caring about is what the pictures will look like in your living room and the color of your babies. That's all you're looking for. And God says, I will not answer. You get over your desire to be brown. Overnight after overnight. Every new year. What are you believing God for? I'm believing God for a husband. But God knows underneath there. You don't tell people. You tell me, I want a husband. People are saying, but the brothers have been coming. But you said he has. I know what I want. And you only want it because you're trying to fulfill a void in your life that you cannot fill. And God is saying, if only you'd be comfortable in your skin, there's things that I want to do in your life and through your life. And some of us are praying for the quickest green card to get out of Uganda, so that you can make money and put up a building in this city and draw attention to yourself. What is the motive of your heart? Some of us, we keep prayer journals and we write down these things. I want you to go back and ask yourself, what is my motive? The Bible tells us in 1 Corinthians 10:31 that whether you eat or drink, do it for the glory of God. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory. Is that your desire? Is your desire to put God on display, or is it to put you on display? And so in prayer, God refines the motives of our hearts. And he teaches us to pray, come on, son, come on, daughter. You're better than that. Not envy, not jealousy, not bitterness, not pride. And then he begins to refine us. So what should be our response when God seems silent? Number one, trust God. Trust God. Trust God. Job said in Job 13:15, I will continue to trust God even if he kills me. Though he slay me, yet will I trust him. You have to come to a place where you fully trust God. Friends, let's take our eyes off of anything else that we've put our confidence in, and let our confidence be in God. Trust God even when you don't see answer to prayer. God sees the end from the beginning. He sees the whole picture. There are things you may never understand. Don't carry the pressure to understand everything. You are not God. God is sovereign. There are questions you may never answer. Lord, we prayed. Why did they die? I believed you and I never got the job. Lord, I stood on your word. Trust God because you don't see the full picture. God is sovereign. Isaiah 55 tells us his ways are far above our ways. Trust God. God knows what's best for you. You know, if God was to answer every single one of our prayers, probably there would be chaos in the city of Kampala. Some of us, our prayers are dangerous for the city of Kampala and the nation of Uganda. If God were just to grant prayer answers like that, but maybe some of us would even walk away from the Lord. Maybe we'd turn our back on the Lord because we become so full and so prideful, so full of ourselves, at our achievements. And so God knows what's best. Trust him. But the second thing is, when God seems silent, surrender to his will. Surrender. Trust, but also surrender. Surrender means ultimately, God, you know it all and you're up to something. You have an agenda for me. You have an agenda that's bigger than me, and I am going to let it go so that your will shall be done. Jesus, Luke chapter 22. The Bible says in verse 39 to 42 that he went out as usual to the Mount of Olives, and his disciples followed him. On reaching the place, he said to them, "Pray that you will not fall into temptation." He withdrew about a stone's throw beyond them, knelt down and prayed, "Father, if you are willing, take this cup from me. Yet not my will, but yours be done." Yes, it may have been too long. You've been praying. Maybe the situation is so difficult. Surrender to the will of God. The will of God is not always going to be easy, my friend. The will of God will not always be easy. Choose God's will. When you pray, "God, I want that job. I would like to step up to the next level in my career. But Lord, may your will be done. Do it at your own timing. Do it in your own way. At the end of the day, what I want is not just what I want. I want what you want for me." Surrender to his will. It's okay. You don't have to be in charge. Because sometimes you only see what you want. But God sees bigger and better. Trust God. Surrender to his will. And lastly, rely on his grace. Rely on his grace. When God seems silent, trust him and the process that he has for you. Sometimes it's about what God is doing in you, not just for you. Rely on His grace. Paul prayed and he asked God, will you take this thorn that is in my flesh? Will you just take this difficulty that I'm struggling with? And I love what God said to him in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 8 to 10. When he said, three times I begged the Lord to make this suffering go away. But he replied, my gift of undeserved grace is all you need. My power is strongest when you are weak. So Paul says, so if Christ keeps giving me his power, I will gladly brag about how weak I am. Yes, I am glad to be weak or insulted or mistreated or to have troubles and sufferings if it is for Christ. Because when I am weak, I am strong. Sometimes we don't just have to bind a situation away. Sometimes we just have to trust God for the grace to make it through that situation. Because He will not just bring you out, He will also bring you through. Yes, that challenge is, it's getting greater. Yes, God sees your pain. God understands your challenge. But listen, my friend, God's grace is sufficient for you. You don't have to give up. You don't have to turn your back on God. God's grace is sufficient for you. Hey, let's search our hearts and overcome all these hindrances to prayer. And in the process, let's trust God. Let's surrender to His will. Let's rely on His grace. Will you give Him thanks for His word?
Thank you for listening. I hope this sets you up to choose well and excel in life. Tune in next time as we continue to explore the scripture and learn how we can overcome fear with our faith. For comments and feedback or counseling, write to connect@watotochurch.com.